Welcome to Blathering Blatherskites, episode number 85 in the year 2021. I am one of your hosts, Ken Doman, and am joined by two hosts today. Robbie, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here. And there's another guy. Go ahead.
Present. Another guy. We got Ryan Rhodes.
I'm Ryan. Yeah. How's everybody doing?
Ryan has been a guest on the show before.
Yeah. So are you coming in as a regular now, Ryan? Is this...
I don't know. I just missed it. I really truly did miss it.
Can you join it? Hey, we got a
slot. I think I can join it.
We got a slot.
At least for the winter months. Yeah.
All right. The winter months. Yep.
Or when Robbie can't do it, I can fill in for Robbie. I mean, I'm flexible.
Some big shoes to fill, my friend. Big shoes.
I try.
Well, guys, we've skipped a year. The podcast, Robbie, we were going strong there. We got through 84 episodes with...
We were going strong. I thought we skipped like 2018 as well, maybe, but
no, somewhere in there. Okay. We started this in what, 2014?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
I think it may have been. Wow. So we've been doing this a while. Our goal is to get to 100, guys. We can do it. We can get to 100. I think the goal is in sight. But yeah, well, and then when we get to 100, we'll see.
That's exactly
committing to 100. Get that solid century of shows under our belts. Some changes to the show though. We're recording it on Zoom now, since everybody uses Zoom now. That's a program I'd never even used before 2020, and now it's just the thing we all do. Yeah. Zoom and Teams. What else do we have? Google. Well, we did Hangouts before, but they've tried to expand that.
Skype.
Yeah. Skype's going away, bro, right? I don't know.
Yeah. I think Microsoft Teams has taken over. There's also, Teams you can also do video in Slack and Discord now.
Yeah. Discord. Yeah. That's all. It's amazing. Last year, like the communication apps, it was their year.
It's almost like necessity breeds innovation or something.
It's almost like that, that's how it works. But yeah, we did. We skipped over 2020. We had a lot of stuff going on. I know normally in the show, like, we'll just kind of talk about stuff we've been reading, watching stuff. There's too much. Like the number of Netflix shows alone, we would take, 3 hours here. But I thought we might go around and just pick some highlights, like something you've seen in the last year or watched or listened to that spoke to you, like something that you were like, man, that was something really good. Maybe it wasn't, and if it was the Joe Exotic, then we're kicking you off the podcast. No, we did end up actually watching that, unfortunately.
Oh, I've seen the whole thing too. Yeah. I'm not proud of it.
It was,
I saw it.
Yeah. I haven't seen a single one.
Good.
That's good.
Good job, Ryan. Good job.
You have many, many more brain cells than us than we do.
Yeah.
I probably would have watched it if it wasn't for this like overloaded platforms. I mean, you got Netflix, you have they kept pumping this Paramount thing during the game we cannot mention.
Yeah. The Superb Owl, I think that's what we're calling it.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it.
So
I think I just did a little bit of an audit on my streaming and because I watch Premier League soccer now, which that might be something new, I have CBS All Access, I have Peacock, I have YouTube TV, I have Netflix, I have,
Disney?
Disney Plus, heck yeah. We bought the 3 years at once, like
same here.
$3 or $4 a month.
Yep.
Gosh, there's probably something else.
And then you have the Apple TV Plus. So you don't do Apple stuff. You have not seen Ted Lasso then.
That is that is awesome. It's not kid appropriate, but it is a great show.
It is. As a guy who's into soccer now, I feel like you need to watch it. Yeah.
Well, I have other ways of getting shows to watch. I did watch A Long Way Up, most of it, and I enjoyed that. Okay. I think that's an Apple exclusive.
Yep. That was good. I've seen that.
But if you have a way of getting Ted Lasso, I would even talk about that on a whole episode of a podcast, because it's I'll watch it again. I don't care. It's Jason Sudeikis. The concept is kind of corny. Yeah. He's like SNL. Jason Sudeikis. He is a football coach of a college team in the U.S. and an England team, Premier League team, hires him to coach their soccer team.
I think so, I saw a preview for that. That sounds hilarious.
So I'll leave it at that without spoiling anything, because it's kind of absurd, but they do a great job handling it. The writing on it is top notch. I have to say, but Ryan is correct. Not for the kiddos. That sucks though, because I feel like it's a wholesome show if it weren't for like 3 or 4 minutes worth of the R-rated dialogue, and that's it. Like, and if they didn't do that, it would be a pretty family friendly show, but
yeah,
that's the world we live in, I guess. Everything has to be edgy.
Well, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I grew up in a household where we would just fast forward through stuff all the time.
Right. Well, yeah, if you've watched it to the point you can know it where every F-bomb comes in, then go for it. Or earmuffs.
Oh, the F-word is what you're worried about? Oh, sorry. My kids say that all the time.
That's it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think they've ever heard it, honestly. Hopefully not.
Good. But... good. That's amazing with access.
Not for me. Maybe my wife, but not for me.
Oh, yeah. She's that sailor mouth of hers. Yeah. But yeah, well, sorry, I kind of rolled over there. That's my pick, though. If I pick like one show of the last year, yeah, 100% Ted Lasso. I forgot to even write it down, but we got to talk. You said Premier League. I'm like, holy cow. Yeah, got to talk about Lasso. So, but yeah, Ryan, what you got?
Well, the kids all wanted to watch that Wonder Woman movie, which I could take or leave it. But so we got HBO Max for a month. Okay. And experience, watching the first run movies and that worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, I could take it or leave it, but
yeah,
I guess for first run movies, I mean, that's and well, at least having some of a life. Yeah, we did that. So,
well, that's a pretty big deal. They're cutting out movie theaters like HBO Max. They're dropping their stuff right there directly to their service. So yeah,
I don't know how it's going to play out with that. Just all kinds of conversations you can have, but I've been really looking at buying some AMC stock with all the Reddit users. I've been doing some reading. I'm hoping they take that one off.
That's a whole other thing. Yeah.
We can talk. I can talk about that tonight, but I don't do that, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm not going to open that Pandora's box.
Okay.
But that's a whole other conversation. But yeah. Yeah.
Oh gosh. Well, Ken, are you a GameStop stock owner?
I'm not. And funny story about that. I do work with a guy who last year had 1,000 shares of GME.
Oh, no.
1,000 shares. And yeah, he sold it late last year.
Yeah.
And he made a profit. I think he made about $100 on it. But he did the math, and I guess he sold it at the peak, probably in the neighborhood of about $500,000.
Yeah.
Dollars.
Yeah.
So I cringe. Like when he told me that story, I have
almost makes me want to cry.
It does. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I have like a half or three quarters of a Bitcoin somewhere. I can't find it.
I do too. Some Coinbase or something. I had
No. This was I had a wallet on my computer. Wallet.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, did you have like the flash drive key or something, or on a hard drive?
I can't find it. I can't find the backup.
Oh,
so I can't find the file.
You're still not as bad as the guy who if you have two chances left, whoever that guy is. Yeah, have you heard about him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you have one Bitcoin, it was trading like 40 grand.
Yeah, it's over 40 grand now. Yeah.
So you have 40 grand possibly sitting on a hard drive somewhere.
No, I didn't have that much. I might have had, I said half or three quarters, but maybe a third to a half of one. So yeah,
okay,
I
mean, still
15, 20K.
Right. Yeah.
But I bought a floppy drive reader to read all my old floppy drives. I've gone through all the hard drives I can find. It's gone. I mean, it's just gone. So
man, that's a sad story.
Yeah. Let's bring it back positive here real quick. Yeah.
But I am investing in Algorand. So that's
Algorand.
That's the cryptocurrency I'm investing in. So
no Dogecoin,
no
doggy coins.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a meme. That's a meme coin.
I'm up $600, so but I did put into it last July.
That's
good. I put like $20 into it, and now it's.
Are you gonna sell?
I should. I don't know. I'm gonna look at it the next couple of days, but I'm doing okay. Yeah. The memes. Yeah.
Well, what is you it think at now?
It was at like 8 cents a coin today. I've been trying to keep up on it. Yeah.
Seven point nine eight cents right now, I see.
I bought it when it was 0.004 cents. Mm. So I got it pretty low.
Well, now that we're talking about investment strategies really quick.
It's in. Yeah.
I bought into a company called Dark Pulse, DPLS.
Yeah.
Okay.
I tripled my money today.
Dang.
Today.
Oh, see, you should have told us yesterday, man. We're a day late.
Well, I'm holding my money in there. It's a company that does infrastructure sensors, like with fiber optics and stuff.
Yeah.
So think oil pipelines, think wind turbines, think, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good call, Rob.
Tunnels and stuff like that. So I'm holding on to it. It's DPLS, if anybody's interested. That's my plug for today.
All right.
But it's trading at 3 cents today. I bought it around one, and I bought it back in July, in January. But
okay.
You know, I had a little bit for half a cent, but
my
I bought more later, so my cost basis is around 1 cent.
Okay. So are you using your own wallet then? You're not using an app, right? Or how are you trading?
No, DPLS is a regular. It's a penny stock. It's a stock.
Penny stock. Okay. So you're using Robinhood. What's the other one? Okay.
I deleted my Robinhood and my Webull accounts.
Webull too, because I recently just heard of that one. I was like, oh,
yeah. I got rid of that one because when the whole GameStop thing was happening, they both stopped.
Yeah.
Allowing buys, and so E-Trade is where I have most of my stuff.
Okay.
And they did it too, so I'm moving out of E-Trade as well. So I'm moving everything to Fidelity now.
Fidelity, yeah, that's what my wife just started an account there. Just it was like the only place you could get certain stocks when a lot of the mayhem was happening. So
yeah, with E-Trade, it's like every penny stock purchase you do is like $5 or $6. Hmm. And so if you want to do penny stocks, which I don't usually, but I got into Dark Pulse that way. So
Yeah, I feel like this topic was unavoidable, though. It's such a big thing right now. Everywhere I look, everybody's saying talking about the stock market right now. And the thing is, Robinhood, I don't know if they're getting a bad rap or not. I don't know. I think they messed up for sure. But if it weren't for them, I think that kind of allowed your average Joe to be able to get in and have a seat at the table with the investors. And
yeah, I was ticked that day, like really upset about it all.
Yeah.
But once I've read some of their explanations, I kind of understand what they had, like why they did what they did. Because I mean, right. I think some of it was they just didn't have the money and
didn't have the capital. Right.
They didn't have the capital to cover essentially the bets people were placing. So
which makes it so brilliant by the Reddit users though, because they use their tactics against them, which is, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent.
I'm fine with the hedge funds, you know, lose a couple bucks.
$5 billion.
Well, I think it's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous that you can short a stock 150% or whatever it was for GameStop.
Right.
There's no reason why you should be able to short a stock more than 100% of the shares. It's against the law, from what I understand. It's not necessarily enforced.
Yeah,
but if you're out there and you're a short seller and you're gambling essentially, especially at over 100%. So, anyway, that's my opinion. Yeah.
Okay,
that's our. I don't disagree with that.
Financial talk on the Blatherskites.
Yeah.
I don't think we've really talked about the stock market much, have we?
I think we're farther in our careers now that we actually have a little bit of money in our 401k and stuff.
Yeah, this is old man talk, right? Old man talk.
But it does fit because, I mean, if it wasn't for the platform of Reddit, which is something we're all into, it never would have happened, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they needed social media and not friends and family Facebook social media. They needed, you know... random users,
Good old Reddit. They actually bought an ad on the game the other day. I guess it was really quick, like a 5 second. You blink and you miss it kind of thing. Yeah, they had it. It was a bunch of text. You would have recorded the game and needed to pause it to actually see what they put on there. But basically kind of taking credit for the stuff going on right now. So,
oh, really? They did. Yeah. They took credit. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was kind of funny, but
I'll have to look that up. I did not see that.
Yep. Yep. I just saw that today. But
no, yeah, you want me to talk about my books and stuff?
Books, sure. What you reading, man? Are you writing a book?
I'm not writing a book.
The pandemic, man. People start writing. My wife's on her third book. She started writing books. Yeah. Just stories.
Writing or reading?
No, writing.
Well, very good.
No, like writing. Writing. Yeah. Well, she's
what's
there.
She writing about?
Oh, it's. I don't know.
It's smut books. It's romance books. Romance novels. It's got Fabio on the cover.
Probably. We don't have a cover. Do you know somebody?
Ryan, they need a model for the cover.
I got a little snow on the mountain here, okay, but I don't have anything up here.
Okay.
Yeah, no Fabio.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know.
That's awesome.
She was,
good for her.
Yeah. I was like, she hasn't published them yet, but she's like, she wanted to get a trilogy.
Is she going to publish them on like Amazon or something? Like self-publish?
Yeah, I think so.
Gonna try that out. When it comes out, I can at least, look at it.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
Oh, you don't want me to read it?
No, I've been reading it. It's good. Okay. Yeah.
Are you in it?
I hope not. I haven't gotten through it all. So,
like, what's the genre? I mean, like, that's what I'm.
No, he's not going to tell you. He's not going
to
tell you.
You'll have to buy it. Yeah, that's a teaser. Right. There. Yeah.
Okay.
No.
No. I'm guessing, Ken. My guess is it's just not something that maybe a 41-year-old man would want to read.
Probably not. No. Yeah. I think she might be her own target market for.
There you go.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. For me, TV shows, The Expanse,
yes.
Season 5 just finished.
Yes.
Awesome show.
I know. That has been on my list.
You haven't watched it yet?
I have not. I've attempted to watch it two different times.
It starts a little slow.
It starts slow, and I was just having a hard time. I hope we didn't lose Ryan, by the way. I think he's kind of frozen down there.
Yeah, he looks frozen
on the screen. Hopefully he jumps back in. But I was over at my brother's the other day, and he started watching the current episode. And I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. This is like, like the fifth season or something.
It's awesome.
So
there was only one more season left, too.
Oh, really? They did announce the ending.
I mean, it won't finish the books off, probably.
Okay.
I doubt it. I mean, I hope they get a good ending. But yeah, that's awesome. Oh, lost Ryan totally. Okay. Hopefully he'll come back on.
We'll keep going. And see, I think he's rebooting or something. He'll trade. Ryan's
there
back.
He is. All right. You back, Ryan? There. Okay.
I'm back. Yeah. This is what happens when you don't live in the
yeah.
In the big
city.
Yeah.
So yeah. I was just, if you want to, Ryan, turn your video off. And that way we can turn our video off if we want to.
I'm all right now. I have my VPN on. So I turned my VPN off.
That probably was it. Yeah.
Some packet sniffers coming in, man. They're going to get you.
Yeah. So what books were you reading?
Anyway, I was talking about the TV show The Expanse. The books I've been reading, I listened to the audiobook probably a year and a half or two ago. It's the series is called The Bobaverse, which I probably have talked about this, Ken. And they came out with a fourth book recently.
Okay.
The concept is that this guy named Bob dies, but he had just signed up to get his head frozen so that they could resuscitate him someday.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that they resuscitate him, but inside a von Neumann probe, which is a self-replicating probe, which essentially goes out into you send it out to a new planet, and it uses like 3D printers to build more of itself, and then replicates and then goes out.
Yeah.
So he was a software engineer, a recluse to some degree, very introverted, and ends up being like the perfect person for this because you're like in space for long distances by yourself.
He can handle it. He's good on the long trip. Yeah.
Anyway, it's fun. It's a fun book. And like he clones himself. Now he has somebody to talk to. And they had a three book series. I think it was self-published on Amazon originally. And I think the publisher picked it up eventually. And then the fourth book just came out. And so I've been but within the last 6 to 9 months, and I've just slowly been moving through the audiobook because I'm not in the car for 2 hours a day on my commute.
Same.
So I don't have as much time to listen to audiobooks. And then I'm also reading Ready Player Two.
Oh,
which is a sequel to Ready Player One. So,
which I love Ready Player One. I The reviews for the second one were not great, but I still want to read it. It's on my list to read. Because I like that whole idea, that whole world that he built with that.
So it started off okay. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I don't know yet. But yeah, I really like the Babaverse. I mean, it's super sci-fi nerdy stuff, but really like it. And movies, I see Soul and like Mulan, maybe. Like I didn't watch like a... Oh, Tenet. I like Tenet.
Oh, you saw you Tenet. Tenet. I've been waiting for that. It's available on digital now, but it's like I'm waiting for it to hit a service, but I don't know if it's even going to come to HBO because it's a Warner Brothers one. But I almost bought it. I had it like in my cart to buy it, and I'm like, no, I'll wait.
And it's really like it's one of those movies. It kind of reminded me of like Interstellar or
Chris Nolan. Yeah,
yeah. Well, yeah, right. So it's a movie that you almost have to like go read, you know, an hour afterwards to understand what just happened.
Might need to watch it a few times. Yeah,
yeah. So. But it was good. I mean, I watched it. My wife and kids were out of town, so I watched it. It's violent, I think. It's about maybe some language, but it was really interesting. So yeah, cool. That's me.
It's a dense movie. Yeah, I know movies have been, it's tough because so many, like the whole last year, like they're like half the movies or more have been delayed because there's some big stuff. Like we were supposed to get a new Ghostbusters Afterlife was supposed to come out last year. That I don't even think is coming out this year now. I think they pushed it until the end. We had a new James Bond supposed to be coming out that, you know, it got delayed. Some of the Marvel movies we had. What is it? Black Widow. Yeah. Movies. I mean, like other than what you mentioned and Ryan, you said Wonder Woman. We watched that. We watched Soul, which is good.
Is 1984 as good as the first or
no
worse?
Not
by a long shot?
No,
okay.
It's
I kind of enjoyed the first one. Okay,
I did too.
It's one really of my, it's like up there for DC movies for DC, me.
Yeah, exactly. And the second one, it I don't go as far as to say it's bad, but it's
it's moniker. I say it's full on bad.
It's full on bad.
It was bad.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot The Mandalorian.
Well, yeah, the second season, that was crazy. I mean, the way they ended up with that, I don't know how spoilerly we're getting here with that, but that show
completely... Tune out right now, because I think we can, it's been like a month and a half.
We're good. I kind of heard rumors what they were going to end up with, and then the fact that they actually did it, I was still surprised. And that last episode.
Yeah. I'm a huge Ahsoka fan. And so I was really happy to see her. I actually just got, I can't show it to you now, but I just got a print from an artist I like called Danny House. Yeah. I don't know how you say his name. But he does a lot of like Star Wars themed stuff and for like Star Wars Celebration and other things. So I got one of his prints recently. He just had a new one. So I'm looking forward to having that up in my office. I don't know if I'll put it behind me during meetings. Probably not, but it's a Rosario Dawson like Ahsoka, so it's kind of cool.
Okay. But, yeah. Well, you know, that was like a fan choice, right? Like fans of that character kind of wrote in and were like on her Twitter and stuff, be like, you got to be in this role if they have it.
I heard Filoni and Favreau, I think, talked about it. I can't know if they talked about it because of that or they talked about it just, I think Favreau had worked with her before maybe, or
I don't remember. I think so. I know, I'm not sure if Kevin Smith was involved because him and Rosario are pretty close and he's a huge Star Wars guy. And I don't know how much he had involved with that. But yeah, it was cool that they made it happen because she does look that part perfectly and played it really well.
Yeah, I felt bad for Ashley Eckstein, who does the voice of Ahsoka. She's a great voice actor, actor. And but I don't know if she has the kind of physicality that role kind of demanded. So
that show it continued to blow me away. The second season was, I know everybody says it is better than the sequel trilogy, and kind of
have you heard the rumors
that they'll reboot the sequel trilogy?
They're gonna retcon the sequel trilogy.
I think it's pretty glaringly obvious that they should have had different runners of the franchise. Nothing against J.J. Abrams, because I think he is a great director. But I don't think
he's a great director, but he has his shtick, right? He does. He does the mystery box and the lens flare over and over and over again, everything he does. And that, I don't know. It's not Star Wars.
Right. Right. And they had, he turned it down the first time they offered to him, because I think he knew that he felt like maybe this wasn't the right thing for him. But they pretty much, you know, probably backed up the money truck.
I'm sure.
And he was like, okay, I'll do it. You know,
what ticks me off though, is that they didn't like say here's, I mean, I know George Lucas didn't write the trilogy as a trilogy. He wrote the first movie, right?
Yeah.
Maybe he had some other ideas, but it just really bothers me that they didn't try to have a cohesive story.
Right. They filmed each film.
They left it up to the directors and writers. And it was different crews each time. I mean, all three movies.
Well,
I mean, the first and third were J.J. Abrams.
Right.
But like the second one was Rian Johnson and his crew, whoever that is. And it just felt like he just said, screw you, J.J. Everything you built in the first movie, I'm going to tear down. And I still enjoyed all the movies from just separately. I enjoyed them.
Sure.
But as a cohesive unit, like it just did not feel like a trilogy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, each one I think was entertaining, and I thought there were good characters. I thought Rey was a great character. Finn was awesome, but they didn't really have enough for him to do. And the story arcs I think were kind of weak, and the payoff at the end, I don't think it worked for most people.
And I don't think Mark Hamill liked it, so you know.
That doesn't. You have an actor that he did it for the fans. I feel like. They told him they're making it, and he's like, yeah, I'll be involved. But he left quite a few hints that he wasn't really impressed with the writing on it, and his character especially. He wasn't, you know, in agreement with what they did with Luke. So, yeah, like we're bringing it back around to Mandalorian, because he does show up there at the end. Will he be involved in the next season?
Wait, what? I haven't seen the second season yet. What are you talking about?
Ah, geez. Dancing around it, the full CG Luke, which CG it's getting really good, but it's still
they have not crossed the uncanny valley yet.
They're really close. They're like at the precipice there, but
some of the deep fake stuff I feel like is really close, but
deep fake stuff is that's a whole other episode in itself too. The real quick though, have you guys seen the South Park guys deep fake stuff they've been doing? Trey Parker, Matt Stone.
What's it called?
It was on the former president, Sassy Justice.
Sassy Justice.
If you haven't had a chance, do yourself a favor, look that up. It's actually really funny, and the deep fake stuff. I think they purposefully made it extra fake looking so people wouldn't think it was real. Like I feel like they could have gone full out and made it 100% believable, and I think they dialed it back because I guess they were gonna do this other show, and then the pandemic hit, and they had already invested in a lot of software and computer stuff to do these deep fakes, and they're like, well, what are we gonna do with this? And they came up with the Sassy Justice
character.
Yeah, right. So
is it Comedy Central? What's the form? I
mean, it was on the web. It's on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Just do a search on YouTube.
Search for Sassy Justice.
Sassy Justice. I only heard the first episode, and then they had a second part. I don't know how much they're going to continue with it. But
I don't remember. Like I know that they used President Trump's face. I don't remember how much they made fun of him. It was a little bit here and there. I didn't feel like it was. So depending on where your political views are, if that's offensive to you or not. But I mean, if you like SNL, then you'll be fine. But
it's actually fairly tame for South Park guys.
Oh well, yeah.
It was nothing really ridiculous, but it was funny. It was well done. I have a feeling it was more of a proof of concept than anything else. I think they're just kind of seeing what they could do with that and just playing around. But
the first time I didn't realize it was supposed to be Trump at first because of the hair and stuff until, I mean, then you look at the face, you're like, okay, yeah, that's definitely President Trump. But
it's crazy. And I feel like we will see more of that. The deep fake stuff is Ryan, you're frozen again. We can turn off our video if You're having trouble with it. Oh, okay. Yeah. You're moving.
I'm
again.
There. Okay. Yep, I'm moving. Sorry, guys.
No, it's okay. You're still in here. Yeah.
Hear about Robbie.
Well, okay. I think you did that to help your band.
I intentionally turned it off.
Yeah. Oh.
Yep. Okay. And I will do the same. That should help with keeping things rolling for you. Anyway, the other show I want to talk about is the other big Disney Plus show. If you guys have seen WandaVision, it's still running every week. Ryan, have you
had? I just watched the first episode tonight.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, did you like it?
Yeah. I mean, I think I know where they're going with it, but I'm not sure.
Give it three episodes at least.
Yeah.
To the third one, they start peeling back the edges of what, you know, what's going on.
I had a friend, and he knows, he probably listens to this. He'll know who I'm talking about, but he didn't really like it. I think he didn't said it didn't feel like a Marvel, or didn't feel like the characters, which I totally get.
Okay.
It definitely felt different. I mean, from the whole direction Marvel was going.
But like my wife and I knew what we were getting into. Like, we love those old shows like Dick Van Dyke and
Bleached
and all that kind of stuff. So we've really enjoyed it so far. And then adding the Marvel kind of, you know, mystery and fling to it is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. If anybody's listening and doesn't know the concept of it, but WandaVision is the Scarlet Witch from the Marvel Universe that came in on Age of Ultron, I believe was her first foray. She might have had a post-credit scene before that, but I think that was the first full movie.
She did.
But her character in a old-timey TV show is like throughout different decades. It kind of starts in like what, the 50s or 40s?
I think 50s, 60s, 70s, 50s. And I think this last one's 80s.
80s, yeah. So each week they're kind of have a sitcom. Right. With Vision, who was her like love interest, but is also an AI robot, android.
And also dead, spoiler. Yeah.
Right, from Endgame, or was at the end of Infinity War. He doesn't make out and he doesn't get turned to dust. He's like physically, like Thanos plucks the stone out of his forehead.
Yeah.
And kaput. Yeah, kaput. That's the concept in a nutshell. It's pretty bonkers. And the way they kind of bring it around, like as Ryan, as you get into like I think it's around the third episode, you can see they are bringing it into the full Marvel universe. And they introduce some other kind of side characters from other movies, a lot of cameos in it. And as somebody who couldn't get into the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I feel like this is the first real Marvel show that's part of the universe. I know Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. technically was, but it always felt really separate. It felt like totally just a TV show, but this feels like it's more interconnected to me
It definitely is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I never even finished S.H.I.E.L.D. and they did what, six seasons of that? Maybe more.
Yeah. My wife and I were just talking about that. Like, we never finished it either. And we've kind of binged a lot of stuff. Like, I saw you wrote down Stargate. Like, we finished all of Stargate and Stargate Atlantis this last year. We've done a lot of stuff. We went through all of Chuck. I don't know if you ever saw Chuck.
Love Chuck. Yeah. Oh, heck, I worked at Geek Squad for 7 years. I was Chuck for a little bit. Love that show.
And just a bunch of different shows we've kind of binged. So we've talked about, we actually watched all of Inhumans, which did not get a lot of credit. It's a Marvel show as well. I don't know if you saw that one.
No, did not.
It was okay, but there's a reason it's only one season.
Some of the stuff just doesn't make it. And the thing is, there's so much stuff. Like, content is just really abundant right now. It's just hard to get through. Going from WandaVision, the trailer just dropped for The Winter Soldier, Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yep.
So that's the next Marvel Disney Plus show.
It's actually called Winter Falcon.
Winter Falcon. He's just a he's a chilly Falcon.
That's Wanda. You know, it took me like the week before WandaVision aired.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I never really put the two together that was Wanda and Vision together. WandaVision. I just thought, oh, it's going to be like, it's going to be this TV show. It's like television, but WandaVision. My wife laughs at me.
You missed it. Right there in front of you.
So I would have gotten Winter Falcon if they did that. I would have totally been on board, but you know, whatever.
Disney has these things scheduled out now. I feel like they kind of have all these things loaded in the queue. So we have, Falcon and Winter Soldier. Then Loki, I think, is still coming out this year. A whole series with Loki.
Which is going to be awesome.
Really awesome. Yeah, I really love that character. A series. TV show, yeah. They've got that one. And then I believe was there another show? Maybe not. I know they announced like a dozen Star Wars shows.
Yep.
Or something crazy. But yeah, for Marvel shows, that's still quite a lot of stuff considering how the movies have kind of been toned down. The release schedule has
what I really love about it is there's always been this in film, there's always been this like divide between movie stars and TV stars.
And
the fact that Disney is able to bridge that gap and get people like Rosario Dawson, who's traditionally been a movie star, to be on a television series, essentially,
right? Yeah.
And like Winter Soldier and WandaVision, like I think it's just a huge boon to the industry to be able to do that. Because you think about like Smallville and like Smallville, and they had Superman movies coming out at the same time. It just felt so disconnected.
Well, that's been DC.
It's been DC the whole time, 2 decades. Right? But I'm just saying, like, I mean, it would have been awesome. What's that actor's name?
Tom Welling,
if he could have played Superman sometime on the big screen.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of a shame. And I think last year in the whole Arrowverse series, they had an episode with Tom Welling in it, and they kind of showed that universe of Superman. They kind of did the whole multiverse kind of
story. Well, I know on Supergirl, they had a different Superman.
They do, yeah.
But Supergirl's part of the Arrow and Flash universe, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, exactly.
It just bugs me.
They introduced the whole multiverse concept, and they even had the guy, what's his name, Ezra Miller, I think, who plays the Flash in the movies. He did a cameo on the show as an alternate universe Flash.
Okay, so, nice.
So they, DC was trying. Yeah, they were trying to tie it all together.
I mean, they did Marvel did the Spider-Verse the right way, I guess. But
yeah. Well, and the rumors are that the third Spider-Man that's coming out, I think later this year, the Tom Welling one, or not
Tom Holland. Welling,
no, Tom Holland, the other Tom Holland. It'll introduce the other Spider-Men. So it'll have Andrew Garfield and what's his name, the first Spider-Man back 20 years ago when they made that. All the different Spider-Men kind of showing up, and possibly villains from the other. Alfred Molina, I guess, was talking about being recast again as Dr. Octavius.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And Jamie Foxx will come back as Electro. So you're throwing a lot of stuff in there. And that movie wasn't that great. That was Amazing Spider-Man 2. I don't think there's really, the only bad Spider-Man movie was Spider-Man 3. I think that was the Tobey Maguire. That's what I was trying to think of. The third Tobey Maguire one with the emo Spider-Man and Venom that was done really poorly. But I think Marvel's trying to do the same thing. They're going to
I hope DC doesn't try to do a Batman verse and like bring back Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze, and Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy.
I think Arnold's done with his Mr. Freeze days.
Danny DeVito is the Penguin.
I like DeVito.
He could do that.
Yeah.
No, I know. He's awesome. I think he can still do it.
Oh, yeah. Well, the other big rumor is that they would, in one of the new Batman movies, they are going to bring back the original Batman from Keaton. Keaton. Yes, Michael Keaton.
Really?
As an old Batman. I don't know which movie it is, because DC is so just scattershot all over the place. They have the Suicide Squad, and then they have this other Robert Pattinson's doing a Batman movie, and then they have the Snyder cut of Justice League. So they're all over the map. Like, and then they have their TV shows, so who knows. I don't know which version of them that's supposed to be, but Michael Keaton, I believe, is set up to don the cape and cowl again.
Is he going to do Birdman again, though, too? I mean, how's he going to pull all that off?
Birdman. Well, that was a whole, what movie was, that was like an Oscar contending movie. No, he was, Birdman was Birdman. Different.
Yeah, he was in a movie. You played the guy with the wings. What's the mechanical wings?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, the Vulture. Yes.
Vulture.
Yes. Yep. And yeah, they kind of hinted that he might come back into that role. I think that was an after credit scene.
Oh, yeah.
Keaton. But yeah.
He's in jail, right? He's in jail.
Yes. So who knows if we'll see him again. I feel like they just kind of left that open. They can go back to him. But yeah, the Marvel stuff is... it's crazy. And I've heard talks of them trying to bring back like Daredevil and some of those Netflix shows and kind of work them back into the main line.
Well, I thought I never watched all of Daredevil. I never watched Jones at all. I got through a little bit of, there's two more. I never did.
Nick Cage was Luke Cage. And,
I got through some of Luke Cage.
Yep.
And then the fist, Iron Fist. I never tried.
Iron Fist. Yep.
I heard that was horrible.
I did not watch that either.
But I thought they tried to bring some of those into like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something. I thought they tried to move them together. Somehow.
I think they were kind of like canon. I think even in Daredevil, they kind of mentioned stuff that happened in the first Avengers movie. So they did kind of exist there in the universe, but I think they're going to try to make it more of a meaningful tie-in now that Disney owns everything. And they have all those properties now, and plus they have Hulu, which I think they could push out maybe some more mature content kind of stuff, because those shows were more of like a I don't know if they're M-rated, but definitely PG-13.
Oh, they were M.
Probably
some of them were.
Yeah. I know Jessica Jones, I think, was, but yeah, they're a little harder edge on those. But yeah, that Marvel stuff, it's just crazy, insane what all they're doing right now. And even though I feel like they did take a break, like the whole world just took 2020 off, so not just our podcast, everybody. But it does seem like they're gearing up and things are kind of kicking back in for them.
It's definitely going to be overloaded this all, you know, they're saying July, you know, is kind of what I've been hearing. And when it all breaks open, as far as the media floodgates, it's going to be insane. We won't.
Oh yeah, you're talking about just content that's being produced, kind of.
Oh, when they get the green light, it's gonna be.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, there's a lot of people that have been wanting to work and wanting to do stuff. I hope we kind of see maybe some stuff that people had time to percolate and maybe kind of work on that might not have made it in the faster paced world of how, you know, they need these scripts and they push stuff through really fast. Maybe there's some stories in there that people had a chance to spend a little more time with them and develop them more, and hopefully we'll get some cool stuff out of it. I think we might. And there's some shows that just got delayed. I know Amazon is working on a Lord of the Rings series. That's another huge thing. And they're pouring tons of money into that. And it got delayed because of the pandemic. So I'm hoping, you know, maybe they got that extra time to, you know, put some more into it than maybe they would have if they had the tighter release schedule. But I think that's supposed to come out even later this year.
Amazon's doing, I don't know if you guys have, neither of you guys have read this. You guys haven't read Wheel of Time, right?
Wheel of Time. No.
There's going to be a series on Amazon for that too. It's a really, really popular fantasy.
Good. Yeah.
Book.
That's cool. And see, that's on my list here. The only books that I've been reading is I read to my son every night, and he loves dragons. Like he's obsessed with dragons, just loves them. The How to Train Your Dragon thing, that is his jam. So I found this series of books called The Dragon Misfits. The author is DK Holmberg, and they're just totally about dragons. And each book, we're on the third book so far, they focus on kind of like a different elemental dragon. First one is like an ice dragon, and then they had the iron dragon, and then the current one we're reading is the forest dragon. So it's neat, and for him it's pretty mature, but it's also, I feel like it's fairly kid friendly. Like there's no language, that there's some violence, but it's not horrible. It's not, you know, gory or anything. I mean, it's a book, but it doesn't get into gory details, I guess. But yeah, and it's right up his alley. He loves it. And it's about the only thing I can do to get him to sleep is read him his dragon stories. And he's really into it. He knows the characters and, you know, stuff.
Are you running out of stories?
No, fortunately, it's a series that has a bunch of books in it. I think he's got like 8 or 9. I think he's still writing them too. So they're coming out. So I'm like, we're good. We got stories for years. I think he'll, you know, probably be a teenager by the time we finish these things. So yeah, it's been kind of a good choice there. And I always have stuff to read to him. And it's on the, let's bring it back to Amazon again. We have the Amazon subscription where you get so many books. Like, I think it's just Amazon Unlimited or Kindle Unlimited, something like that. You can have 10 books checked out at a time, and I think all of them are on there. So
it's been
kind of nice. Yeah. So just kind of check out the next one when we get through them. But yeah, I read to them like one chapter a night. So we're, it's taken us a while. we're working through them. But yeah, that's
good.
Yeah, that's the only thing I've been reading, though. I know, other than just like work stuff and technical books. That's about it.
Yeah, I've pretty much taken the year off from reading for the most part. I read a little bit on vacation.
Yeah.
But I don't have time in a car, which is a good thing because I'm not in the car.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I feel you. That was my podcast time. I have not been listening to as many podcasts. And not being recording any, but yeah, I haven't been listening either.
I'm curious. I know the main topic was kind of like what's last year, but
yeah,
I know Ken and I are both in the tech industry, and so we work from home, and you know, some things have changed. Ryan, as somebody who's not, you're more, you know, hands on. What has anything changed for you the last year?
Oh yeah, Zoom meetings, like my continuing education, things like that. Many Zoom meetings. I'm the president of the Soybean Association here in Ohio, so a lot of Zoom meetings. But yeah, just everything's changed.
So how people have been adapting to that? Because I feel like, Ryan, you're a pretty tech-savvy guy, but it's like, I mean, a lot of farmers, like, that might be really outside their wheelhouse. And that, like, how's, like, because I know you have to work really hard to have connectivity and have, you know, internet where you're at. It's like, are some people... Like, how are people adapting to that, I guess, and being able to do these meetings
I think, you know, the older generation, they're struggling with it. They're not going to change. But I think the younger guys, you know, when I say younger, I'm saying 40 somethings, 30 somethings, 20 somethings, they're all in. I mean, I just updated my smartphone and I got 5G now here at work. I have 5G at home. I don't.
Wow.
It's like the 5G is so good. Like, yeah. I would just scrap like my internet because it's not.
Wow.
I mean, it's fantastic.
Have you looked at Starlink at all?
Oh yeah.
Yes. Funny you bring that up. They're doing a little pilot program in Marysville, Ohio, which is just down the road for me. But, the thing I worry about Starlink, it's exciting, but I don't think the scalability of it is what I'm questioning. Scalability and the bandwidth.
Yeah.
And the bandwidth being able to be repeated out, you know, in a broader. I think they only offered it to 50 homes and they're calling Marysville extremely rural.
Yeah.
I think that's a little misleading. With the Starlink thing, but I have been following that. Actually, it's some of the stuff that's been popping up, like in my farm magazines, is very untraditional. Like, you just don't read things like this, you know.
Yeah.
And what's Starlink? Then, you know, especially the old guys are like, right. They have no idea.
Yeah. I mean, my parents have signed up for it. I mean, they're on the waiting list or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But it was funny. My mom was talking to. A traditional kind of ISP person, like cable or fiber or something like that. And they're really trying to talk her out of it. And right now, I don't know what you're on, Ryan, but they're on like microwave internet. So it's like point line of sight.
That's what I am.
Their latency is really bad. And then download speed, like they can watch Netflix, but it's, you know, they can't really do anything else.
Yeah.
So it'd be an upgrade, I think. But we'll see.
Well, I think Starlink, they have pretty good, like their latency is not bad. It's like under 100 milliseconds, which is pretty comparable.
You're not going to be a competitive gamer, but yeah.
I mean, you can play games on it, though. I mean, it can definitely play online gaming and stuff like that. Well, it should work fine. Like under 100 millisecond is acceptable. It's not like cutting edge. But, like, I mean,
you're not gonna win like Call of Duty matches under at 100
maybe seconds, yeah, so, unless yeah. you're really good. But yeah,
so I'm not as bad as I think then, huh?
right. It's your connection. Right. Yeah.
So aggravating.
Yeah. Yep. But I think it is going to roll out, you know, over time, because right now, even though they have a bunch of satellites, they're continuously launching more of these, you know, up into the sky above us at like 60 at a time. And then I think as the bigger rockets, we're going to be able to hold quite a bit more. And they're going to have thousands of these satellites and trying to cover the entire world. So provide internet to really reach everybody, no matter how remote. Yeah, I'd be really interested if you ended up getting in on that, Ryan. And the speeds are supposed to be good, but I don't know if it depends on how many people are like linked up to that satellite that's over them at the time.
I think that's the problem. I think you just said it right there. It's how many people are accessing.
Yeah.
And then the hands off between satellites and all that stuff.
Yeah, how they link together. Yeah, because it's kind of like basically a gigantic mesh network, is my understanding. So they're all communicating across to each other. It's going to be really, really interesting to see how that comes together and if they hit their goals, what they want to do. Because they also have people really resisting it and they're worried about, you know, blacking out our the night sky and, you know, astronomers, some of them are really not happy about it. But it looks like it so far it's going forward and they're working on solutions to that using different kinds of paint and coatings to not, you know, completely block out the night sky for everybody.
Well, I vaguely remember reading something where people, like early on when the Starlink satellites were being launched, you could actually track them and somehow they changed.
Yeah.
Well, I vaguely remember that. I'll have to look it up, but yeah, people were like, okay, trying to find out, they figured out where the Starlinks were at, and it was supposed to be pretty quiet at this point, and they figured it out.
I think I might be wrong on this, but I think if you have the Night Sky app, I know it's on iPhone store, Apple store stuff, Night Sky, it does kind of an overlay, so you're going to use augmented reality, you just point it up at the sky, and it'll show you where those are. I think Starlink satellites did show up on it last time I tried to use it, so... Yeah, people, they know where they're at, and you should be able to kind of locate them.
I did look up how many simultaneous users they think they can have, and somebody did some research, and they think they could support 485,000 simultaneous 100 megabit connections.
Okay, that's good.
That's pretty ambitious.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's all right. And it's continuing as they keep adding satellites. I mean, that should continue to get better.
Yeah, I would assume so, because they have to get it back down to Earth, right? So they have those, you know, facilities, they're building those out as well.
Yeah, but yeah, that'll be cool if an internet service, and hopefully it does become competitive with other ISPs, like your local cable companies, and push them to do better.
Well, I just hope it gets, like, the United States of America is woefully behind when it comes to broadband.
Oh, yeah.
And granted, we have more land than most countries do.
Right.
So that's part of it. But it is really sad that we have such a large portion of our population that lives in more rural areas, and that our government has given companies like Verizon to build out in those areas, and that money has disappeared.
Right.
Well, I will say, though, Robbie, Frontier, which is, they are, even in my area, you know, they're putting, I'm assuming it's, I think it's fiber even.
Awesome.
Just down, I can see it from my parents' place. So yeah, some of that rural broadband initiative stuff is coming, at least in Ohio. I mean, I was surprised.
Hoping that this is kind of a positive consequence of the pandemic and this whole, you know, mess of a situation going on right now, is that internet has been proven that it is essential because people need it to do their jobs. Kids need it to even go to school right now.
I don't know where I haven't researched this enough, but like there is, I think there is an argument to be made that it is a utility now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think absolutely there's an argument.
I don't know what the ramifications of that are politically, financially or whatever, but I think there's at least, it should be in the conversation.
Right. Cause yeah, you're right. There's a lot of Americans in the United States that don't have reliable internet or, a lot of people have smartphones, but as far as like a good solid home internet connection, that's not a given at all. And my wife's from Southern Ohio and she's been telling me there are people down there that still like are on dial up and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, when you have, kids that can't go to school full time, how are they really continuing their education right now? You're going to see long-term effects of that if they don't get access and hopefully, make changes and school districts adapt. But yeah, that is another whole, such a huge topic. But we're kind of talking about, predictions from what's going to happen from the pandemic. I think that is one that hopefully ends up being a positive one, that we have better internet in this country and probably around the world. Like those infrastructures, I think people are seeing how vital those are to continuing our work, business, education. Hopefully see some good things there.
It's funny. I'm sitting here and I just looked at my phone and one of my friends just messaged me and said, I just ordered Starlink. he was on the invitation. So it's still in beta, but he just got invited. So,
wow. Okay.
Go ahead. Well, work me through the process a little bit. Where do you go for the Starlink thing? I mean,
go to the website. You just go to the website and I think you put your email address in.
Yeah. Yep.
Just put your address in too, so they know where you are.
Yep.
So that they can decide if that's an area they want to focus on. Kind of like you said, Marysville or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know there's a project going on right now in Marysville. I know that as a fact.
Okay.
Yeah. So
cool.
Yeah. So hopefully see that. Hopefully see more fiber optic getting run.
I love my fiber.
That's nice. I mean, we have cable, but ours is like, I think we're running like 400 meg or something, which is good. I mean,
I only have 100 meg and I do my job and everything else in our house fine.
Yeah.
I could get a gig if I wanted it, but I don't really want
to
pay.
Same.
For it,
yeah. So. We have gig is available to us, but the price jumps quite a bit. And I'm like, we don't really
how
need
much,
it.
How much, no. Sorry, how much is it a gig for you? Mine's $100 a month.
It's around $100. Yep. I think it is. Okay. It's right in that neighborhood. Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing. That's the other problem, Ryan. Like I'll sit here in a fairly decent sized, middle of the road town and I pay $60 a month for 100 megabit.
Yeah.
And you go where you are and like the infrastructure is not there yet. So they have to charge a lot more to get
started. I pay 60 for 20 up and 20 down.
Yep. You're paying for the infrastructure to be built too.
Yeah. But with Starlink and now the pricing on Starlink, I think to get the setup, the initial setup is a few $100, right? It's not
yeah, much, probably.
Just to get into it. And then I think it is like around $100 a month is the pricing I heard for their monthly fee for it. If you're getting 100 meg though, and if you're in an area where you don't have many other choices, like for Ryan, that might be a good option. It could be something really good for you guys.
I'm going to their website right now.
Yeah, sign up now. Get in on it.
Well, wait, don't go to a website while you're on a Zoom call, Ryan. It might knock you off. Like,
right.
What? Yeah, I'm breaking my...
Because you dropped the call.
Yeah.
So what else do you guys think could benefit, or change, I guess, from the last year? What kind of changes?
I'll tell you one thing. I will not be anytime soon invested in corporate real estate. I think a lot, like I look at my company and I'm not going to say who it is, but my company is a software company. And traditionally we've had lots of people in the office. We have a fair amount of remote workers as well. But I think most of our offices are going to move to like a rotating desk type thing, or open desk, or whatever you want to call it, where they have desks available when you're in the office, but you don't have your own desk all the time.
Yeah, we call it hoteling spaces for us.
We call it neighborhood seating.
Okay.
The same idea, right? Where you don't have your own desk, and people are allowed to work from home, because we have gotten through almost a year now. I mean, it's almost a year working from home, and our company at least hasn't, other than maybe mental health of the employees, hasn't really lost a step.
Right.
Like from a productivity standpoint, I know me personally, I am healthier. I am less tired. I get more sleep. I get to spend more time with my family. I think I'm in a much better place than I was a year ago, just professionally and personally, because of this. Now, granted, I'm also an introvert, and talking to you guys right now is, you know, the most words I'll use in a day. but I mean, people ask me, are you okay? Are you doing okay in this pandemic? I'm like, dude, I'm living my best life. Like,
yeah, man,
I don't have to go a bunch of places. I'm a homebody too. So like, it's awesome for me, but I totally get my extroverted wife. Like, yeah, this is tough for her. So, I get that, but
yeah.
I think that at least from a work standpoint, I think things are going to change. And I've talked to one question I ask anybody, like acquaintance or whatever, when I talk to them is, you know, what's your company doing? Have they changed the way they think about remote work? And overwhelmingly, I'd say 95% of the places, like this, all different verticals, right? Like different types of businesses have all said, yeah, they're more open to it now than they ever have been before, because they haven't skipped a beat.
Right. And I think the numbers are going to start coming in, and they're going to see the financial benefits of doing the remote work. I feel like it's something that's been out there, and kind of like this theory. It's like, well, what if we did more remote? And before the pandemic, we were allowed one day a week as a work from home day. We had one day. And then when we went to basically the full time, and then they switched it to permanent, they're looking at, there's a whole building that they're not going to have to build now. They were going to build a whole new IT building that would have probably been $1 million-plus structure that they're just like, why do we need to build that? And the parking to go with it. It's like, we can save that money and put it towards something else and have those people work remotely. So yeah, huge cost savings. And I think as other companies see that, they start seeing their bottom lines improve because of these savings.
It's not going to help the construction industry, and like I said, it's not going to help corporate real estate industry.
I do think that's good. Yeah, Ryan.
Well, real quickly, I know we're running short on time, but it said Starlink is targeting coverage in your area in mid late 2021.
Wow. Okay.
And they want $99 from me.
Okay.
Oh, really?
That's your reservation fee. Okay.
So,
well, Ken, you've given Elon Musk $100 before, or $1,000, haven't you?
No, $100. I gave him $100 for my Cybertruck. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Man, I think that's right. When our podcast, the last episode we have was before the unveiling of the Cybertruck, which came out, that November 2019. Which is crazy. It was that long ago. And he almost busted the windows out and everything. But that's a whole other thing.
And then I'm sorry to cut you off here, Ken, but $100 a month.
Yeah.
After that, it better be. So how fast is that for? And don't tell me my speed. It just says it's going to be $100 a month.
Right. Well, I think they don't want to promise anything. And like Robbie was saying, I think 100 meg is kind of what they're shooting for, to be fair, to try to keep it consistent at that. But I know Elon has mentioned it could go quicker, like up to speeds of a gig. But I think that would be if you're the only guy on the satellite. Yeah, you might get a gig. I think real world. Yeah, probably looking at more like 100 meg. And they're really low orbit satellite, so it's not like the old school satellite internet where your ping times are atrocious. These will be competitive with cable internet.
And I'm one of the maybe ones, it's a little rare. I'm more almost in the farm world, I'm almost more concerned about my upload than my download.
Yeah, right. And
so that's always been a problem with satellite too, is that your downloads were great, but your upload
would be horrible with satellite. Yeah. Because you're essentially on DSL or dial-up usually.
Oh, for
At
your
least
upload, yeah.
traditionally with yeah, at least traditionally, because you didn't have a transceiver, you had a receiver.
Right.
So you would say, "Hey, I want to go to this website," and you would send it over dial-up, and then the satellite would finally get the request and then shoot it down to you. And it'd be fast coming down, but
Yeah. Also, that could be a game changer for you if you're able to get in on a Starlink. Yeah, because the uploads should be as fast as
that's
down.
not cheap
Yeah.
though. That's not is that is that $100 refundable, Ryan, if you decide not to do it?
It doesn't say okay, the fine print says fully refundable depending on location. Some orders may take 6 months or more to fulfill. Placing a deposit does not guarantee service.
Wow. Okay. So it sounds like it's pretty refundable. They can't even guarantee your service. So yeah, it doesn't seem like too big of a risk, but
And then $4.99 for the hardware.
Okay. So
$500.
$500.
Wow.
That's
Yeah, you're really locked in at that point, though.
right.
It better be good, right?
Hope so.
It better be phenomenal. I mean,
Yeah.
I bet.
That's tough. That's a tough decision for sure.
I just was curious. I just thought it was good fodder for the conversation.
Sure. Well, and that's what we're talking about. That's something that's, I know we ended up upgrading our internet speed when I started working from home. And it's like, well, we're using it more. It's more, everybody in the family is using it basically at the same time now for stuff. And so my wife teaches classes. She's switched almost all those to online only. It's all video calls, doing video support for people. And yeah, and the kids, that's been their main mode of communication with any of their friends. So yeah, if all of us are using it, yeah, we figure it's not as big of an investment because that's what we're spending our time doing is using it. So we're like, yeah, we should spend it on that, on better internet. Yeah, like I said, we didn't go for the full gig, but it's been fine. I mean, what we have has been definitely working for us.
If you throw enough in a if you throw in a signed headshot, with this with the service, I think I'd be in. I'd be one of us.
Just tweet at him, man. Tweet at
All
him. He might
right,
do that.
primary source of yeah, his the way he interacts with the world is through Twitter.
Which, speaking of Twitter, I don't think I told you guys this. I finally gave it up. I said, you know what? I'm
Good.
done.
No more Twitter. Yeah, I
No more social media. No more. It
none
kind
at
of leads
all.
into kind of leads into social dilemma. What I've been yelling at you guys, not yelling at you guys, encouraging you guys to take a look
Yeah,
at.
which that's something we're not gonna have time for tonight, but I do want to talk about that. The documentary on Netflix, Social Dilemma.
Very
Yeah,
good.
fantastic, and yeah, tons of cool stuff to talk about there. But yeah, so what you're saying is that we have an exclusive on the Ryan Rhodes. No other social media. If you want to hear from Ryan, you got to be on our podcast
That's it.
and
That's
listen
it.
here. Listen here for Ryan.
Or call him. What's your phone number, Ryan? Just
Yeah, say it really slow. Right.
Speak clearly into the mic.
867-5309, I think is
That
what it is. So.
spells pound sand.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, I think we've done our hour. We did it. We had a new episode. Is there anything else? Any final thoughts? Any you guys have? Is something you want to add in before we wrap it up tonight?
No,
I take that
just
as
say
a
thanks, Ken, for pushing us, and
Well, that's
thanks for
Ryan.
joining us, Ryan. Oh,
I
Ryan
think
pushed us. Nice. Yes.
Ryan
I
is
miss
like,
you
hey,
guys. I know I'm going to see you guys.
You know what? And you're right. I think this is good. Even if no one else listens, just to have some conversation, I think is good and healthy. So yeah, so I look forward to getting our next one in this year in 2021. We will return. Yeah, hopefully next week. I'd like to do it weekly. I know, Ryan, you said you have some limitations. Your work obviously will take precedence there. So let us
If
know.
he has 5G, he can do this from the tractor, I think.
Yeah,
I
man.
could. I'd like to try that.
We got a low hum in the background.
Yeah, noise canceling on there. Be good. But yeah, okay. So I think that wraps it up for us. I know I gotta get going tonight, but thank you guys for coming on here and doing this episode 85. Yeah, Ryan is not on Twitter, so this is the only way to get a hold of him. If you want to get to me on Twitter, it's at Nintendo79. I don't really do much of the Twitter, but, you know.
You could maybe find me on Reddit. You could maybe
on Reddit. There you go.
No, you're not supposed to tell anybody your Reddit name.
That's a secret, yeah.
that's like...
See, I'm out of the loop. I didn't know.
Yeah, okay. No. You need to start a new account now.
Right, yep.
Yeah, you don't want your Reddit account to cycle back to you. Like, that's where you're anonymous.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Okay.
Well, hey, guys, thanks a lot. I'm going to stop the recording, and we'll edit the end. We can say goodbye in a little bit, though.